Williams, AB 802. We're going to begin as a subcommittee of the committee while we have other members show up. Assemblymember, if you'll begin, tell us what your bill does. And we have some amendments that will be added at appropriations. Is that correct?
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. I'd like to begin by accepting the amendments proposed in the analysis. AB 802 resolves two barriers to robust implementation of the governor and the pro tem's 2030 efficiency goals. Number one, stranded energy savings below Title 24. And number two, ineffective implementation of the Energy Commission's existing building benchmarking program. So, members, in this state, most of our housing stock is not new housing stock, not new construction. And so our Title 24 goals and ramp up have been very strong, but only affect that new construction. So the question sort of remains, how do you go after the energy efficiency in buildings that are not going to be brought up to Title 24, that are legal non-conforming, meaning there's no stick to make them have to bring up to code, yet they don't now qualify for the energy efficiency programs out there. So I just think it is a practical decision to allow the utilities to go after the below code savings, since at this point, that's the majority of the energy efficiency savings that's out there and the cheapest to get for the ratepayer. Existing data shows that savings potential for bringing a building to current code standards are higher because we've already gone after the above code than potential savings from above code only programs. My bill allows IOUs to provide incentives for improvements from existing conditions. It also includes energy benchmarking requirements have already been established in AB 1103 by Saldana in 2007, but have been unsuccessfully implemented for two reasons. To date, utilities have referenced legal and regulatory uncertainty as the reason to withhold energy usage information from building owners. And benchmarking information must be disclosed at the time of sale or lease of a building, a complicated requirement. AB 802 corrects and streamlines barriers to this program. First, it gives building owners the option to request aggregated whole building monthly usage information for the purpose of managing energy use in their buildings so that they can pursue basic energy efficiency and renewable investments. This bill makes it clear utilities are not impeded by rules developed by the CPUC. Members, how else would building owners know that they financially could get a decent payback from doing an insulation plus solar program if they can't look at this whole building data? Secondly, the bill authorizes the Energy Commission to implement a statewide benchmarking program, replacing its existing point of sale transactional benchmarking program. This would result in buildings over 50,000 square feet receiving an Energy Star score, so efficiency incentives and rebates can be appropriately directed. This bill will help achieve the governor and the pro tem's climate goals and brings California several steps closer to avoiding the worst effects of climate change. I have two witnesses with me.
We have enough to establish a quorum before you begin your testimony. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hueso.
Aye.
Hueso here. Fuller.
Here.
Fuller here. Canella.
Here.
Canella here. Hertzberg.
Here.
Hertzberg Hill, here. Hill. Lara.
Here.
Lara here. Leyva.
Here.
Leyva here. McGuire. Morel.
Here.
Morel here. Pavley.
Here.
Pavley here. Wolk.
Very good. Please begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Andrew McAllister. I'm a commissioner at the California Energy Commission. I oversee the CEC's energy efficiency activities for both new and existing buildings. I would like to express my strong support for AB 802. This bill, among other things, revises and reforms California's current benchmarking and disclosure program, as Assemblymember Williams described. Benchmarking and disclosure policies create market transparency by educating building owners on the energy performance of their building, and in doing so, demonstrate the value of improving a property's energy performance. In 2007, Assemblymember Saldana passed AB 1103, a benchmarking and disclosure initiative that was limited to time of sale or lease of a building, which turns out to be burdensome and problematic given all of the paperwork already associated with a transaction for the prospective buyer or lessee. Broader benchmarking and disclosure initiatives are becoming a trend across the country. Major cities across the U.S. have adopted benchmarking programs similar to the one proposed, including New York City, Seattle, Chicago, Kansas City, Washington, D.C., Minneapolis. San Francisco has a program in place, but it has been made very problematic to implement because of these data transparency and transfer issues that they've encountered with the utility, which are similar to the ones present in 1103. Many studies have shown that buildings with above-average energy performance have higher occupancy, command higher rents, and are sold at a premium when compared to those with poor energy performance. Owners have an incentive to improve their buildings, but they need information in order to identify the investments that will pay them the most benefit. We hope to create a market that values and creates demand for energy efficiency in buildings. The governor's third goal to vastly improve the energy efficiency of our existing building stock is one of the things that I am responsible for at the commission. We have a plan to do so, and this is a key element of that plan. And we believe that benchmarking and disclosure policy for our existing building stock sets the foundation for that market trend. Economic activity, private capital, building owners engaged with their buildings to improve them for their tenants. And I respectfully, therefore, ask for your aye vote.
Very well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Valerie Torello-Vlahos with PG&E here to testify again, as I did in July, to strongly support metered-based approach to getting existing buildings up to and beyond code and not leaving stranded savings on the table in operational, behavioral, and retro-commissioning activities. This is simply an important policy that we've been pushing all year, and you will see multiple supporters come forward supporting because this is the right thing to do to get to our aggressive energy efficiency goals and the right thing to do to modernize our energy efficiency programs that have been successful in pushing very aggressive Title 24 requirements. And so it's left folks behind. So this is now an opportunity for us to retrofit our existing buildings, get to our goals. And it is a small one of those policies that is a small step, but a big leap, and we think will help us achieve our climate goals. Thank you.
Okay, very well. Do we have any speakers in support? You guys come forward, state your name and your position. This is a time for people to express their position in support of the report. The bill.
Mr. Chair and members, Matthew Hargett with the California Business Properties Association. If I could just real quick put this at a real pragmatic level.
Okay.
Both these policies impact every commercial real estate building in all of your districts. With the below code issue, that sounds a little esoteric. Basically, what it means is California's energy code is on such a steep incline. It's getting tougher and tougher every year. The older your building is, the harder it is to get it up to current code. What this program will do is help folks in your district be able to do energy efficiency projects that will help them, their buildings become more energy efficiency without getting all the way to the very expensive new building standards. Secondly, on the benchmarking, I've been in front of Mr. McAllister many, many times on benchmarking. This is a great idea, this law, but it was written in a way that made it almost unimplementable. Building owners, if you have a building with multiple tenants and you don't have the contract with the local utility, you don't have access to that information, but the state law says you have to benchmark. You can't benchmark if you don't have the information. So we hope that this measure moves forward so we can fix that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, Scott Witch on behalf of the California Coalition of Utility Employees, the Western States Council of Sheet Metal Workers, and the California State Pipe Trades Council, in strong support of the bill. Thank you.
Sylvia Solis Shaw on behalf of the City and County of San Francisco and on behalf of the City of Santa Monica. Both cities strongly support the bill. We believe it will help reduce energy consumption in existing building stock. Thank you.
Eddie Moreno on behalf of Sierra Club California in support.
Nick Pappas with Southern California Edison in support.
Maria Stamas from the Natural Resources Defense Council strongly in support.
Tamara Raspberry representing the San Diego Gas and Electric and the SoCal Gas Company, Semper Utilities in support.
Megan Kirkaby, Policy Director for California Housing Partnership, in strong support, especially for the way that this will help affordable housing owners preserve and green their buildings throughout California.
Jim Hawley with the Mission Data Coalition, a coalition of 35 energy management technology companies, most of whom are based in California, in strong support.
And don't be afraid to walk forward. We don't bite hard.
Mark Fenstermaker on behalf of Environmental Defense Fund in support.
Andrew York on behalf of Clean Power Campaign in support.
Andrea DeVoe on behalf of TechNet in support.
Amy Mago on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce in support.
Aaron Niemoller representing the Efficiency Council in support.
Ignacio Hernandez on behalf of the Utility Reform Network in support of the bill.
Matt Kloppenstein with the Center for Sustainable Energy in support.
Do we have any speakers in opposition?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gil Topete with the California Municipal Utilities Association, regretfully in opposition to the bill. Prior to Friday's amendment, CMUA had no stake at all in this bill, but with the amendments that were in print as of Tuesday, it draws CMUA in for the following reasons. We have been a party and participant under the AB 1103 process with the CEC, and notwithstanding the problems and complications of collecting this data, which CMUA, with some minor nuances, is all in support of ensuring that AB 1103 is implemented appropriately. We're viewing this language in such a short time frame, and why is it needed right now? And that whatever those problems are, maybe a more careful, thoughtful approach should be attempted, rather than what we're viewing as a lot of complicated terminology, a view of maybe an overreach to achieve what the CEC wants to do here. The language attempts to go out of its way in some sections, saying notwithstanding any other law, the aggregate data that needs to be collected is not deemed customer utility usage information, and it's not confidential information. We worry about some of the customer protections that, even though it is information in aggregate that a building owner asks about his building regarding his specific tenants, there's just one line that I saw in the bill that ensures adequate protection, and that's embedded in the IPER process on the top of page 5 of the bill. We would have preferred a more deliberative approach using maybe the full legislative season to examine this language. And for these reasons, CMUA must oppose the bill.
Mario DiBernardo with the Northern California Power Agency. I want to thank the author's office for really having an open door policy with us on this bill. We actually supported the bill until the amendments from a couple of days ago. The analysis does a really good job expressing our concerns related to these amendments. These are the benchmarking amendments. We have major privacy concerns. The Northern California Power Agency has in its membership the Silicon Valley Power Agency, which is the City of Santa Clara's publicly owned utility, and we also have the Palo Alto utility, and they're, as well as Alameda, they're in the mecca of the tech center of the world, and they're concerned about, in large part, the impact that the benchmarking language can have on their tech companies. You can learn a lot about what a tech company is doing, whether they have a product that's coming out, whether they don't have a product that's coming out. Obviously, yesterday we had the Apple coming out with their announcement on their new products. They spent a lot of resources keeping that information secret. In these areas, we want to protect the privacy of those tech companies. and not have the possibility that that information that could be detrimental to their competitiveness gets disclosed to the public. We are willing to work with the CEC and the author's office on benchmarking language after this session, but as a result of these amendments, we have serious concerns. Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition? Do we have any questions or comments from senators? Yes, sir. The floor is yours. Don't be afraid.
Just gaining my confidence, Mr. Laura asked me to ask this question. No, what I'm interested in is when you deal in the area of energy efficiency, in my view, one of the biggest reasons why, beyond government reaching these goals of all this stuff, is to be able to finance the energy efficiency issue. And the biggest challenge we have in putting people to work to finance this stuff is that we haven't benchmarked. We haven't come up with that way so that a bank, some type of lender, some lending instrument, has an inability to do that. You know, I went and was talking to the Senator Leva about this the other day. I talked to the pipe insulators, and they tell me that in 4 months there's energy payback, but their problem was the financing mechanism. So what I want to know is, with respect to this, it all sounds great, and you got your numbers and all that stuff, and we can report as a government. At the end of the day, I want to put people to work, and putting people to work means you finance projects to make it work. What I want to know is, what homework have you done with respect to the finance community to marry this concept with actually getting the capital to build to build out the energy efficiency, because this is the missing link. Any thoughts, sure. Dr. Professor, or the sure. Mr. Chairman?
So it's a terrific question, and this, you know, we see this as one piece of the overall puzzle. Financing is another piece of the puzzle. There is.
Why is the financing a separate piece of the puzzle? Once you have the finance, once you have this, it seems to me that the bankers will come running.
Sure, exactly, because right. You can show that you'd actually exactly. really get a year payback, or right. a 2 year payback, or a 3 year payback, and the banks would be willing to finance.
That's right.
I just think that the benchmarking is key information to be able to convince them to finance.
We're talking about large commercial entities. They have generally access to capital markets. The multifamily, you know, low income
was,
is different.
My question, well, I know that. That's mm-hmm. repeating what I asked. Yeah. The question is, have you had any communications with respect to financial institutions to understand what their response is to this benchmarking? If there hasn't, there hasn't been. I'm just curious, because that's the connecting piece.
We do have In our various proceedings, we do have quite a bit of interaction with market stakeholders who either bring financing to the table themselves, energy services companies, other service providers who have lines of capital that they can bring to projects. So we've had communications with banks about different issues, not probably this one, the benchmarking issue.
Have you seen any evidence? Because what happens is so many of these programs over the last number of years, in my judgment, have only survived because government comes in with handouts or grants or tax credits. This really takes a gigantic leap mm-hmm. to bring in private capital to be able to actually dramatically increase the number of people that are going to work on this stuff. And I'm trying to understand what your experience has been at the CEC and whether, in your judgment, when you say this is one piece, what else is needed to make that happen?
This helps the market be transparent, and it lays a foundation for all those market forces to kick into gear and say, oh, this is a building that needs work. I'm going to go work on, or my building needs work. I'm not going to be able to attract the kind of tenant that I want. Therefore, I'm going to go scope a project and hire somebody to do it. There's a financing.
Just one final financing, question, Chairman. I got to tell you, I think this is really critical in where government mm-hmm. falls down. Mm-hmm. I understand all that theoretical okay. stuff that we can learn and all that kind of stuff. The reality is, just like if you're going to do municipal financing, you bring in the lenders mm-hmm. and you say, if I pass this law, will you lend? Which then as results in a marriage between public policy on the mm-hmm. one hand and real economic activity on the
Absolutely.
Other hand, it puts people to work. I get that. My question is, what efforts have you made to do that? Because you may find that you could have written this in such a way to change the language a little bit that made sure that you excited the banks and or other financial people mm-hmm. and or the tax-exempt market to make it like PACE program
Absolutely.
Where you could partner with that stuff and dramatically expand it, because that's the missing piece.
So the standardization of this program is commonly it's happening in the programs across the country. New York City has done a similar program, has a public disclosure of the benchmark score, and has attracted a lot of capital. The energy upgrade industry in Manhattan is growing vigorously as a result. And you know, they have Wall Street. They haven't had privacy concerns. This guy definitely has not fallen there. In fact, quite the opposite.
Thanks.
So the banks will come in. Portfolio Manager is an Energy Star tool. It's an industry standard, and everyone's familiar with it. So it actually is very it's a very well-known, accepted approach, and the capital markets actually understand it as well already. They do.
Very well. Any other questions, concerns? We have a motion to approve the bill. The amendments will be added in Appropriations Committee, and the amendments were a drafting error that was found in the bill, and the second amendment is a consolidation of two terms regarding aggregated energy use data and the benchmark results. If that's correct.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
We'll add that to the motion, and we have a motion. Did you want to make any closing remarks?
Just briefly want to reassure you on the privacy issue. There is not only in the bill the privacy question addressed in the section dedicated to the IPER, but confidentiality, data protection is also protected because when the CEC collects that data, it's pursuant to 25301 and all other IPER statutes is also subject to 25322, which is confidentiality of data collection system information. These are requirements regarding confidentiality of information collected by the CEC, and that section outlines the privacy protocol that the CEC follows. Additionally, if this was a concern of the tech industry, I think we would hear from the tech industry. TechNet and the tech industry are in support of the bill. So with that, I would just respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Clerk, please call the roll.
Wesso?
Aye.
Wesso, aye. Fuller?
No.
Fuller, no. Cannella?
Aye.
Cannella, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. McGuire? Morrell? Morrell, no. Pavley?
Aye.
Pavley, aye. Volk?
Aye.
Volk, aye. 8-2. It passes.
The bill is out. Is Morrell coming? Is McGuire coming in?
Oh, okay, so no.
Is there a no?
He's in the pro tem's office. So unless you want to wait and make transportation.
We'll close the roll. We'll close the roll, and we'll be adjourned.